Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back together, and we are so glad that you have come out to join us. And for any of you who are joining us online, it's great to see you on our live stream as well. Over the past while, we've really known some of the difficulties and storms of life in lots of different ways and for different reasons. And yet, it's been great to know the presence of God with us in these days. And our service today, we're going to be looking at how Jesus calms the sea. And if you are continuing to go through the storms of life, we really hope that you know and understand that Jesus can calm that storm as well, and that his very presence is with you as you go through it. Some of the things that we do are going to be slightly different to normal, but we do hope that you enjoy and are blessed as your time of being here. Yul and Carly are going to sing to us after our call to worship, and they're going to use a song that remind us that we can lean on Jesus in these days, and that we can cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. We're going to use Psalm 104 as our call to worship. Let's read it together. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed in splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers in their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths like a garment. The water stood above the mountains. But at the rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. Thanks, Yul and Carly.
Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting. Bear this heavy load, cast all your burdens upon the Lord. Jesus cares, he cares for you. Jesus cares, he cares for you, and all your worrying won't help you make it through. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord and trust again in the promise of his love. And I will praise the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, the lifter of my head. Burdens upon rest again in the promise of His love. And I will praise the mighty name of Jesus, praise the Lord, the lifter of my head, praise the rock of my salvation, Lord. My days are in His faithful hands. I will praise the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, the lifter of my head. Praise the rock of my salvation. Oh, my days are in His faithful hands. Jesus cares, He cares for you, and all your worrying won't help you make it through. Cast all your burdens upon the Lord, and trust again in the promise of His love.
Thank you to Yul and Corrie for a helpful reminder that we can indeed lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus, no matter what we are currently going through in life. And can I just say that if you are going through a particular difficulty, we're always here for you to come and talk to, and we'd love to try to put you towards God and His Word in these days. Just to let you know that during our service, we aren't going to be collecting a physical offering, but you can leave a retiring offering at the end. Or for any of you who are watching online, you can also give online at havenerbaptist.com/give, and there's lots of ways that you can give. And we just want to thank you all for your generosity to God's work here and overseas through what you do give to the church. And just to let you know, at 7 p.m. this evening, we're going to be continuing our Deeper Into the Word series on YouTube and Facebook, where Johnny's going to be teaching through the Sermon on the Mount, and this evening's going to be Blessed Are the Merciful. And here's just something to whet your appetite for later on.
He says, the man or the woman who has received the mercy and the grace and the compassion of God will then want to have that same compassion and mercy and grace for others. In the same way that the Lord Jesus Christ entered into our world through His incarnation, who took on human form, adding it to His divinity, to know what it was like to be like us, to feel like us, to think like us, so that He could become a merciful and faithful high priest. How much more then should the Christian show the love of Christ, the mercy of Christ, by trying to get into the shoes of others, to feel what they feel, to think what they think, so that they could help them and minister to them.
That was just a little teaser for later. And all of the previous talks are also available online, havenerbaptist.com/teaching, and all the previous Sermon on the Mount series are there as well. Also, just to let you know, on Wednesday at 8 p.m. on Zoom, we're going to be praying for our wider world, and it's great to have Andrew Reid joining us from Spain, and he's going to be giving an update on his family life and the work of this Seminary and the church there just outside Catalonia. So do join us on Wednesday if you're free. We are now going to read God's Word together, and Corey Leach, who welcomed you through the doors, is going to read God's Word to us. And then after Corey reads, Ian Neal is going to bring our kids' talk to us on the big screen. So, boys and girls, I want you to be really closely. Thanks, Corey.
The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 8 and verses 23 to 27. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him."
Picture this. It was a beautiful day. The sun was shining and the birds were singing, and Jesus was teaching the people. He taught them parable after parable about what the kingdom of God was like, and he spent the whole day teaching them. And when evening came, Jesus urged his disciples to cross over to the other side of the sea in a boat together. Now remember, the disciples, these men were fishermen, so they were really comfortable on a boat. But then a storm rolled in, and the clouds grew black, and the wind picked up, and it was really blowing. No. It was blowing more than that. No, not that kind of blowing. It was really blowing, and the boat was rocking back and forth, and there were flying fish everywhere. And then the wind, the boat was being tossed everywhere, and then it began to rain at first, just a sprinkle at first. And then it got a wee bit worse than that. And then it really started coming down. And before they knew it, the disciples were soaked. I mean, surely they've been in storms before, but this one was different. This storm was even too big for them. And they were worried, and everyone was yelling and rushing around, and they were trying to shovel water out of the boat before it began to sink. And then someone realized, where's Jesus? He's sleeping. That's right, he's passed out cold in the middle of a storm in a tiny fishing boat that's about to sink, and he's fast asleep. Quickly, a disciple grabs him and goes, "Jesus, do you care if we don't drown?" Of course Jesus cares. I mean, that's the whole reason he came to save us. Jesus stood up and went to the front of the boat and said, "Peace, be still." And suddenly, the craziest thing happened. The wind stopped. They recognized his voice. It was the same voice that created them back in the beginning. And the water glittered and lapped up against the boat, and the boat bobbed gently. And there was a deep stillness, and a great quiet came over the whole place. And Jesus turned to his friends and said, "Why were you scared? Did you forget who I am? Did you believe in your fears instead of me?" They didn't realize yet that Jesus was the Son of God, and they had just seen a taste of his power. And here we see the perfect example of God's power. He commanded the wind and waves to obey him, and they did. Okay, I think it's time to get dry. That's better. There's a word in Greek that the Bible uses to describe this power. It's dunamis. This is where we get the word dynamite. And God gives us dynamite power. It's explosive power, so that our lives don't have to look like everyone else. Our lives are marked by God's power, and you can receive salvation through Jesus. All you have to do is ask and believe by faith. Jesus goes on to tell us, more importantly, what this power is to be used for. It's to be used as a witness. That means telling others about his love for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all these kids. I pray that you give us dunamis power, dynamite power, explosive power, so that their lives would never look the same. Work through us in a mighty ways, Jesus, so that your work would be done here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, how good was that? And I think the grown-ups enjoyed that just as much as the boys and girls. And a great reminder that Jesus can indeed calm the storms in our lives that we are currently facing. Claire Castles, who gave you some hand sanitizer on the way in, is going to come and pray. And Claire has been working on the front lines during all of the coronavirus outbreak. And we're really thankful to Claire and to all of her colleagues for all of the work that they've been doing in the NHS and other frontline services. After Claire prays, we're going to use a song that was created during lockdown called He Will Hold Me Fast, to realise that even when we don't think that we can go on, Christ will indeed hold us fast. Thanks, Claire.
Hi, everyone. It's good to see all your faces today in person. And it didn't feel much different being on the door spraying hand sanitizer, wearing a mask when I do in work. But just close your eyes and we'll pray and come before God now, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence collectively and together today as a church family for the first time in many months. And we just come to thank you and worship you and praise you for all that you are. And whilst the past few months, if it's taught us anything, that is that we're not in control of things ourselves, although we often think we are. And I pray, Lord, that just want to praise and worship you today, that you are in control and sovereign, and that you're faithful, and that your mercies are new every morning, and that you're good and kind. And I pray, Lord, that just that you would bless us through this time together this morning. And just would like to confess, Lord, our sins before you, and that how often we doubt your goodness, and when things are thrown in our path in this world and troubles come, that how often we let fear and anxiety and worry creep in. And Lord, you know the individual sins of our hearts and our minds. And I pray, Lord, that you just help us to be a people that confess freely to you what they are. And I pray that you would, we know that you're kind and gracious and that your grace abounds and that your mercies are new every morning. And thank you for that and for your forgiveness for these sins. And I pray that you would just help us to not put our trust in the things of this earth, but to put our trust in you, and that you'd help us to live as a people who are ransomed and redeemed and who are forgiven, and that our hope and security is in the future and not here on earth. And I pray you'd help us as a people actually believe that, and that we would be a light in this dark world, and that our hope and security would fuel our passion to see others won for you. And I pray that you would just help us to break our hearts for what breaks yours, Lord, and that the weight of eternal things would be more pressing than the weight of the here and now. And I pray that you would just give us a desire to see souls won for you, and to those in our friends and families who do not yet know you, that you would just feel that to be a witness to them, Lord, and to make that our priority. And I pray, just as we confess our sins and our inadequacies before you, that we also want to bring you thanks. Thanks that we can meet again together, that we have the physical building that we have that enables that. And just for the church family, Lord, thank you for this community and for the giftedness and abilities that lie within us and within our community. And I pray that you would just meet every person today at the point of their need, and that you would draw alongside them. And especially those who can't be with us, those who are ill or grieving, or who are still shielding. I pray, Lord, that you would draw alongside them and they would know your comfort and peace and they would feel your presence. Pray also for Andrew Reid as he comes or links in on Wednesday night. And I pray that just even in this Spanish work, that they would see fruit for their labour, and that you would, that they would know your encouragement, and that along with Andrew, the other missionaries connected to this church and worldwide would know your peace, and that you would give them strength and endurance to run the race that is set before them, Lord, just like you would do with us. I pray also for Deeper in the Word as it airs tonight, that you would impact the people listening, and that hearts would be changed, and that people would be drawn to you and be drawn closer to you. And I pray now for Johnny as he comes to bring us the word, that he would be filled with your spirit and that you would give him power, And I pray for us as listeners that you would open our ears and our hearts, and that we would not just hear, but in the weeks and days that lie ahead, that you would change our hearts and minds to focus more on you and to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, can I give you all another very warm welcome? It is great to see you all again, particularly after so long of not being able to meet together. Could also give a very warm welcome to those who are still shielding at home and you're watching us online. We're delighted that you can meet us through these pixelations and be part of us as we meet together in this room. Like me, you might have been asking lots of questions over these last 4 months. But I'm wondering if the main question that I was asking is the main question that you were asking. Because the question that I've been asking over these last 4 months is this: is God really in control? Is God really in control? I wonder, did Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, ask in the difficult moments of his own life personally, and even in the public sphere in which he ministered into, did he ask, is there someone in control of this world? Is there someone in control of my life? Wonder, as you're listening online this morning, are you asking, is there a higher power? Is there a being that is in control of this world? Well, in the passage that we've had explained to us through the children's address and the passage that we've had read to us this morning, we meet the disciples probably on their first day in the job. Now, some of you remember your first day at work and you remember what that was like in a new company or in a new school or wherever it was and the anxiety that you felt. And we believe that this is probably the first significant moment for the disciples. It's their first day in the job. And maybe if you're a young person listening here this morning or listening at home, if you maybe remember all the three quick points this morning, maybe some of the big people who brought you to church might get you a treat tomorrow or maybe even on the way home. But as we look at this story about Jesus calming the storm, we're going to see one major theme. We're going to see the authority of Jesus. Because Jesus has called these 12 men to follow him, and 7 out of the 12 are fishermen. And up to this point, they probably haven't been asked to do a whole lot. They've really been observing Jesus at work. But now the disciples are going to be tested. On their first major day in the job, Jesus is going to take them into a storm. Jesus knows the storm's coming, and yet he takes the disciples into it. Lots of people have been following Jesus, but Jesus has been challenging some in the crowd. Just before this story at the Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, Jesus is speaking to a teacher of the law. And he replied in Matthew 8, verse 20, Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." So what's going to happen now that the disciples have to follow Jesus? First day in the job, they meet a storm. That's our first point, which will come up on the screen behind me for those of us here and those online. The first area is a storm happens in the life of the disciples. Verse 23, then he, being Jesus, got into the boat. Now, if you were a professional fisherman, think about it if you're a young person here today, and Jesus comes into your boat, and you're wondering, you know, how many years has this Jesus had experience about being a fisherman? Zilch. Zero. Jesus was a land-loving carpenter, and he came from Nazareth, a little village up on the top of a hill, which from the Sea of Galilee to Nazareth is about 30 minutes in a car. And so when Jesus, a land-loving carpenter, gets into their boat, he knows nothing about fishing. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. Now, many of these men were married. Many of them had to leave their family to follow Jesus for this particular time in their life. They've abandoned everything, really, to follow Jesus. Look at what it says in verse 24 on the screen behind me. Without warning, a furious storm came up. You see, 7 out of the 12 who were fishermen of the disciples, they would have known the telltale signs. So when a storm would have been coming up over the hillside and would have swept down into the Sea of Galilee, which was 700 feet below sea level, they would have known, right, guys, it's time to get out of here. It's time to get back to the shore. Let's get back to Peter's house in Capernaum or wherever they came from, and let's have dinner. We don't want to be out here in a storm. But this storm is without warning. And many people think that this is a satanically fueled storm. It's come without warning. It's taken all of the disciples totally off guard. And 7 out of the 12 of them have been fishing on this lake their whole life. It's a storm that comes without warning. And it's a furious storm. And it comes up on the lake so that the waves, think about this, swept over the boat. Now, some of you may have been out on the sea where it's been a bit choppy. Or you've got the Larne to Stranraer ferry, and you've just about made the 2.5-hour journey in a massive, massive boat. This is a little boat. And the waves are so tall either side, and they're sweeping into the boat. The boat's filling up with water, and literally they are drowning. And you might say, what was Jesus doing? Look at what it says in the text behind me. The end of verse 24, but Jesus was sleeping. How could Jesus sleep in the middle of this storm? He's asked the disciples to come and follow him. It's their first day on the job. And Jesus is sleeping. Now, how could anyone sleep in this difficulty? Well, let me tell you the end of the story. In maths, some of you young people know, don't tell your parents, but in your mathematic textbooks, the answers are at the back of the books. And do you know, when I was a young person, I used to sometimes look at the answers at the back. But the answer for this, the reason why Jesus was sleeping, is at the end of the book. In Matthew chapter 28, after he's gone to the cross, after he's been raised from the dead, after he's standing in front of his disciples, he's the ascended Lord. They've had their 3 years of discipleship. This is their first day. This is 3 years later. He stands with them and he gives them his marching orders. And he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He stands as the risen Lord Jesus. He has all authority. So even though this furious storm comes up in their lives, he has all authority. The Apostle Paul, as he reflects on the ministry of Jesus in Colossians 1, verses 15 to 21, he says, in Christ, all things hold together. He has all authority over the storm. Let me ask you this morning, if he has all authority over the storm in the lives of the disciples nearly 2,000 years ago, does he have that same authority in our lives, in your family, in your workplace, in society, in your health? Does he still have the power and the authority? He has it over all of the storms of life. But look at the second thing he has authority over. He's authority over security. He's over security. You see, the disciples so far have sort of been able to observe, you know, Jesus teaching his great sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And no doubt they were all nodding their heads, like some of you nod during my sermons or nod off and fall asleep. They're sort of nodding to Jesus, talking about blessed are this and blessed are that, and yeah, the salt of the earth and the city on a hill. And we don't worry about anything, Jesus, in chapter 6, and we don't judge anyone, chapter 7. But now they're having to prove what they believe. Will they let their security go into the hands of Jesus? Look at verse 25. It's on the screen behind me. The disciples went and they woke him. Now, I would have got to Jesus and said, Jesus, you need to wake up. And this is maybe what they're doing. Jesus, save us. We are going to drown. Literally in the original text, it says, we are drowning. Jesus, unless you intervene in the midst of this storm and the insecurity in our lives, we are going to drown. And maybe that's how some of you felt. Over these last 4 months, you're saying, unless Jesus steps into our world and into our culture and into my life personally, I'm just going to drown. What a first day on the job this is for the disciples. But look at how he speaks to them, verse 26. He replied, you of little faith, or literally little faith ones, why are you so afraid? And then he got up. Can you imagine, Jesus, the storm is raging all around him. The water is flooding into the boat and these guys are going nuts. And so Jesus gets up from his sleep and he rebukes the wind and the waves. And it was completely calm. Try and put yourself there into the soaked clothes of the disciples on their first day in the job. They think they're about to die. The Sea of Galilee is furious and in a rage. And then, like a pane of glass, absolute stillness in a second. Because Jesus is all authority. Now, I know nothing about nature really or science, but normally happens when the wind dies down, the waves take a little bit of time to die down. But the wind and the waves stop instantly because Jesus has all authority. Jesus, the creator of the ends of the earth in human form, stands in the middle of the Sea of Galilee and instantly brings this lake to a standstill. Because Matthew wants you and I today as a listener and watching online to understand Jesus has all authority over nature. And it was completely calm. Sometimes as disciples of Jesus, he takes us into places of insecurity to to teach us that our security can only be found in him. Sometimes as disciples of Jesus, he takes us into places where we feel great insecurity to teach us that the only secure place is to be found in him. You see, the disciples could learn more in the middle of the lake, in the midst of a furious storm, than they could have in the Capernaum beach making sandcastles. So they see the authority of Jesus in the midst of their insecurity. But lastly, Jesus has not only got authority over the storm and over their security in life, but also their skepticism. Some of you who have watched these broadcasts over the last 3 or 4 months, you're still a little bit skeptical about who Jesus is. Or maybe you've come here to church for the first time and you're kind of a little bit skeptical like the disciples were before this incident. But look at how they respond, verse 27. It's on the screen behind me. The men were amazed and they asked, "What kind of a man is this?" You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus was truly God, and yet he was truly man. But up until this moment, the disciples have seen a few of the miracles of Jesus, but there's a big difference between healing someone and actually telling a whole lake to be still. And it's brought to an instant calm. And they maybe look at each other going, "Boys, what sort of a man is this?" And I'm going to tell you the end of the story again. After the cross, there was a centurion, and he's standing at the foot of the cross, and he gets the answer to that question. As he looks up at Jesus hanging on the cross, and he's heard some of Jesus' final words, speaking of forgiveness and speaking of love, he said, "Surely, surely this man was the Son of God." And as I close today, you know, we've all faced a big storm in our culture the last 4 months, and we're still not out of it. You may be able to reflect on something in your own health and something in your own family and something in your own workplace, and it has been like a furious storm in your life. But the greatest storm that any human has faced and continues to face is a storm that was brewed up in Genesis 3, where Adam and Eve rebelled against the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the plan of God. And so from that moment on, there's been a furious storm that rages in the hearts of all humankind. And the answer to that storm coming to cessation is found at the cross. When Jesus Christ, at the end of Matthew's gospel, cries out, "Father, forgive them," in that moment, they received forgiveness. So today, if you're a Christian, I want you to see Jesus has all authority in the storms in our lives, over the security in our lives, and also the skepticism. And it is my prayer that if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, that you will move from a place of skepticism to a place of saving faith in him, because only security is found in him through Christ on the cross. I'm going to pray now, and after I pray, Yule and Carly are going to come and sing to us. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he has all authority over nature and over difficulties in our lives. And we're conscious, Father, that not all of these things pass away this side of eternity, but we praise you that one day you will make everything new and we will see the fullness of your authority as you create a new heavens and a new earth. We thank you for the glimpses that we even get in the Gospels of Jesus' authority over the storm and over our insecurities and even over our skepticism. So, Father, I pray for those that are listening online. I pray for those that are gathered here physically this morning, that as we leave this place and as we close down the online gathering, that we might be encouraged by the authority of Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
There is strength within the sorrow. There's beauty in our tears. And you meet us in our mourning with a love that casts out fear. You are working in our waiting. You sanctify us. When beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. Your plans are still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. Faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. You are wisdom unimagined. Who could understand your ways? Reigning high above the heavens, reaching down in endless grace. You're the lifter of the lowly, compassionate and kind. You surround and you uphold me, and your promises are my delight. Your plans are still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. Faithful forever, sovereign over us. And even what the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good. You turn it for our good, for your glory. Even in the valley you are faithful. You're working for our good. You're working for our good and for your glory. Even what the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good. You turn it for our good and for your glory. Even in the valley you are faithful. You're working for our good. You're working for our good, for your glory. Your plans are still to prosper. You've not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. Faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us.
Well, just as God is sovereign over the storms in the disciples' lives, he's sovereign over ours. Sometimes it's a mystery. Sometimes we don't understand it. We may not even understand it this side of heaven, but we can have great confidence that he has authority over our lives. I'm going to encourage you to stand together as we say the benediction. I'm going to say it for us, and you can read along with me. It's Jude chapter 24, so, or if you can stand with me, verse 24 in Jude. It's a great benediction that reminds us that as we leave this place or as we close down online, that our God goes with us. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. If you're on this side of the church, my right and your left, if you can leave that way, and you can maybe chat to people outside as you go to your cars, keeping your social distance. It's been great to see you this morning. If you'd like to contribute to the offering, you can do that, or you can continue to give online. So thank you all for coming, both online and here in presence. So God bless you, and have a good day.